You know, have you ever noticed that we all do various things to have a better life or improve our lives? People look at different kinds of programs that they could get involved with. They places that would help you achieve greater things. Of course, we all desire. That's part of human nature. It's desiring something better. And but actually, it seems like it's a mystery to some people. And they don't know what to do or where to go. But do you know the secret of doing anything, going anywhere, accomplish anything, is finding the starting point. Finding the starting point. Proverbs 23:7 says, "Don't eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." Don't eat with people who are, then that's the New King James and NLT said, "Don't eat with people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. They're always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it." Now, this verse uses a miser as an example to show you the impact of a person's thought life. See, a person is a miser because they think that way. The principle in this verse that I want to get, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. In Dad's book, Right and Wrong Thinking, on page 2, it says, "What we believe is a result of our thinking. If we think wrong, we'll believe wrong. If our believing is wrong, our confession will be wrong. In other words, what we say will be wrong. It all hinges on our thinking." Now, changing your thought life doesn't happen automatically. You have to work at it. If you're going to change your way of thinking, you're going to have to read material that contains greater thoughts than you have. You have to listen to people that think bigger than you do. You know. Now, some of y'all can remember this, and most of you probably can't. But in 1954, an Englishman named Roger Bannister was the first person to run an official recorded 4-minute mile. Now, prior to that time, now that sounds silly now when they're running in the threes, 3 minutes and some odd seconds. But back then, it was the thinking, and it was even taught and even said, it's physically impossible to run a 4-minute mile. Anybody old, and I got any older people that remember that? In reality, Bannister didn't break the physical barrier or the speed barrier. He broke the thought barrier. And I say it all the time. I got it from a coach when I was a kid in school. You got to think you can before you can. After Roger Bannister ran the 4-minute mile in 1954, 37 people did it in 1955. 300 people ran a 4-minute mile in 1956. I want you to notice, before he ran that, it was thought and it was taught that it was impossible to run a 4-minute mile. But just 2 years later, over 300 people had done it. And now a bunch of people have. Now they run 3 minutes and something. You see, you live small because you think small. Somebody said, it's unknown, I don't know who said it, great thoughts precede great deeds. And so I want to talk about keys to the greater life. If you're going to be used by God in a greater way, you have to change your thoughts, change your thinking. God wants us to enlarge how we think about him. In a time of great difficulty and mental anguish, actually, David turned his situation around by changing his thinking. In Psalm 77, verse 10. I'm checking to see, I see people still turning, so I'll wait a minute. And I said, this is my anguish. In other words, he was in anguish over thinking maybe that God had stopped working for him. But then he said, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate in all your works and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Now I want you to get this. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You've declared your strength among the people. Now, while David here was in great distress, he had to take control of his thought life. Instead of thinking and complaining about the situation, he began to think about what God had done and how big God was. A lot of people, when you get into a situation, stress, whatever, all you want to talk about is the trouble and the condition. But he began to think and talk about his God. In the midst of great trouble and affliction, Job has something to say. Look at Job 5. Job 5. I'm just going to take a time and wait for everybody to find the book of Job. That's what one guy called it one time. Here we go. Job 5. But as far as me, for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause. Who does great things and unsearchable riches, marvelous things without number. Now, if anybody had some trouble, it was Job. The enemies that come in and stole all his livestock, everything. His children got killed in a tornado or something. And he was afflicted with boils all over his body. And he had three friends, actually, that become three tormentors, who said all the trouble was Job's fault. Now, in the midst of all of this, he lifted up his eyes and voice and said, to God I will commit my cause, who does great things. What he did in the time of his trouble was to begin to think about the great God. He started thinking about God that had brought him to the point that he was when trouble came. And he began to think and believe then that God would be able to deliver him. He began to think about God restoring. You know, I did that teaching a year back or so. God, the Master Restorer. He's a turnaround specialist. What was it, 3 years ago, I think? Two, it's just two. I got somebody on the front row telling me it's 2 years ago. God is a Master Restorer. You've got to think about that and think in those channels when everything comes in against you and everything is happening and it looks like it's not going, it's all over. Looks like it's curtains. It's it. You've crashed and burned. See, you got to begin to think, hey, God can restore. God can do it again. You know, after David became king of Israel, and all his enemies were at peace with Israel, the prophet Nathan came and said, God wanted David and his offspring to build the temple for God to dwell in. You know, you see, we are the temple now, but they built the temple for him to dwell in. And this Sunday we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate Easter. That's when he moved out of that temple. In 2 Samuel 7, let's see. I see many people turning in their Bibles. The ones I can see, when I see they found it, I'll start reading, okay? I'm always being told that I go too fast. I don't give y'all a chance to turn. So I'll just stop and wait. All right. Everybody got 2 Samuel 7. Anybody don't have 2 Samuel 7 on your device or in your Bible, let me know and I'll send somebody to help you find it. Okay. Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you. Nor is there any God beside you. You, according to all that we have heard with our ears. David was at the pinnacle of his success. Now he is given the honor to be involved with the building of the temple. You gotta realize he'd come a long way from a shepherd boy, a fugitive, and then the king. He is given the honor of gathering materials together so that his son Solomon can build the temple. And as David is thinking about all this, that Nathan came and told him what he wanted, what God wanted him to do, he says in verse 21 we just read, you have done all of these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God. David's story is an amazing story. It began when he was a young boy. And he had to enlarge his thinking as he went along. He spent time with the sheep and the bear and the lions and came, and he had to change his thinking in order to accomplish that. Then I want you to notice his thinking when he got to the battlefield and Goliath was there. Everybody else said, we can't. He said, I can. Why? Because he was thinking, in his thinking, he's thinking about God. Now, how do I know this? Because after the giant had got through spewing out all he said, David said, I come to you. In the name of the Lord God Jehovah. You see, his thinking was, I can't take you down, but through me, God can. See, you've got to change your thinking in every situation so that you begin to think, through me, God can take care of this. Whatever it is, don't make no difference what it is. Oh, what am I going to do? Hey, I'm going to do what the word says. I'm going to be strong in the Lord. I'm going to overcome. I'm an overcomer. See, you got to think that way in order to come out on the other side. God is great, David said there. And he went on to say, talking, if you read it in it, actually what he was saying was, God desires to do great things. Sometimes our thoughts about God and who he is, we need to stretch them and enlarge them. You know, in fact, I think I used it in a sermon here recently. But a father asked his son, look up in the air, said, how big is that airplane? Well, he said, it don't look very big. He took him out to the airport and stood him beside of that aircraft and said, now how big is it? He said, it's big. See, that's what we've got to realize, how big God is. I got a picture, and they took it, and I couldn't find it, of somebody standing beside of that face shield, a picture of a person standing beside the face shield up there. They, compared to that face shield, this is the face shield, and this is them. I'm serious. That is a big face shield up there. The thing's 20 feet tall, I think, or taller. It's big. We have got to change our perspective of how big we think God is. We talk about it, but do we really realize how big God really is? See, this is what David said. You are a great God. You do great things. See, let me ask you a question. In your thought life, how big is God? Is he big enough to take care of everything? Is he big enough to take you from where you are now to the place he wants you to be? You know, you want to think about God. Think about the creation. I mean, just go driving and look at the mountains. Look at the lakes. Look at the sky. Look, I mean, man, he did all of this. He stood on the threshold of heaven and said, let there be, and there was. That's how big he is. Come on now. I'm talking about how, see, we, if we want to have a better life, we got to learn, we got to realize how big God is and what he wants us to have. Our level of thinking about God sometimes is too small. Now, you know what? When you think small, you don't expect much. Am I right or wrong? But when you think big, think large, think greater thoughts, then you have an expectation of great things. See, learn to think and dream big with the Holy Ghost. Now, let's look at the significance of that word greater. when God talks about something, he does, it's never small and insignificant. Now, the word great, greater is just a derivative of great. It's defined notably large in size, large in number or measure, remarkable in magnitude or degree or effectiveness, superior in character or quality. Throughout the Bible, we see God and great connected together. But this describes who God is. He is great. And we sing a song, he's great, greatly to be praised. Now, talking about the Bible and the Holy Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, talks about the greater one lives inside of us. You're of God. 1 John 4:4. Oh, I got ahead of myself. I better slow down. 1 John 4:4, you all know it, so I'm going to go ahead. You are God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than you, he that's in the world. See, we've got to believe that. I'm trying to get you to the point where you will start to think greater thoughts in line with God's word. Believe for greater things and have a greater life. We quote it all the time, John 10:10. God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. Well, you could say, you could put greater there. And we'll work with the same way. I'm not trying to change the scripture, but have it more abundantly or greater. Have a greater life. It's possible for us to have a great life. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's possible to have a great life. Jeremiah 29:11. You all know it, but I'm going to wait till you turn there. Jeremiah 29:11. Many times people don't spend a lot of time reading in the Old Testament. Well, we do need to read there. We need to spend a majority of our time reading the Pauline epistles, because that's where we live. But what Paul said, that what happened back there in the Old Testament happened as examples for us with the children of Israel. And an example is something you should do or something you shouldn't do. That's what an example is. Now, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. So he thinks thoughts too. Says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. The message says it like this: I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not to abandon you, plans to give you a future you hope for. Now, when the Israelites were given this from the mouth of Jeremiah, the prophet, they were in captivity with no hope of ever going back to the homeland. And now God comes along in the darkest hour of their life and told them that he had great plans for them. Come on. Y'all there, you're going home. You got awful quiet all of a sudden. I mean, in their darkest hour, they have no hope of ever going back to their homeland. They've been in captivity for years. And now God comes along and says, hey, I got a great plan for you. Well, it didn't look like it was too great right then. He told them, he said, he had great plans for them and would do great things for them. You see, there is not a situation that can come your way that's too difficult for God. Having a greater life than we had last year. starts with changing our thinking. Now you see, everybody, Craig said last year, this is the greatest year he ever had. It's my greatest year. He's saying the same thing. But that's because he's thinking in line with God. We all got to start thinking in line with God and start calling those things that be not as though they are. You know, some people say, well, you're not even talking faith. Yeah, I'm talking faith. When you start thinking and saying the future that is not even happening yet, you're calling the things that were not as though they are. You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't taste it, you can't smell it, but God said it can be. That's what I'm talking about. Greater. Greater. Think greater. Think bigger than you've ever thought before. If we think we can, we will. If we believe we can, we will say we can. If we say we can, we will do the great things. That's it. It's all that simple. Enlarge our thinking in line with the Word of God. We quote scriptures, but are we really lining our thinking with the scripture we're quoting, or are we just saying words because we know that's what people want to hear? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Well, wait a minute. You just said greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now you're saying, what are you going to do? Something. Hey, that don't compute. Come on now. You know, no weapon formed against me, but yeah, they just called me and told me this and told me that. Hey, see, do you see where I'm coming from? Our thinking has to be greater than whatever's coming against us in line with the Word of God. I don't know if I'm helping y'all or not, but I like this. In the Bible, we find out how great God is. We discover the great things that he has done. We learn of his mighty, powerful strength. And if we'll read the Word, it'll enlarge our thinking to think and see in line with the Word of God. God has greater plans for us than you can ever imagine. Ever imagine. Ever imagine. Ever think. 10 years ago when Lynette and I got married. 10 years ago wake everybody up. In December of this year, it'll be 56. But that's neither here nor there. When we first got married and started out in the ministry, we thought if someday we could just own a Cadillac car, pastor of a church of about 350 or 400, gone to Hawaii once, we would have had a good life. But as we began to walk with God, we found out his plans were bigger than our thinking, and we had to change our thinking. Then, I'm 35 years old. Dad said we're going to start a Bible school and turned to me and said, you went to Bible school, I didn't, you do it. That's exactly what he said. And we started Rhema Bible Training College, or Training Center, we called it then. We changed it to college. And we did, you know, man, if we can just train 50 students a year, we'd be doing great. But more and more students started coming to Raymond. Once again, my thinking was too small. I had to change my thinking to line up with God's plan, His bigger plan. Now, why I'm saying all this is, see, you may have to change your thinking if you're going to accomplish His plan. If you don't change your thinking, you can't accomplish the greater plan. You got to change your thinking because you got to think you can do it before you can't. We moved out to this campus and bought that building on the corner, half of the building, which is RMA, behind it, and 6 acres. And I thought, well, that'll suffice. That'll be enough. But I had to change my thinking again, because more students started coming. So I did start thinking a little bigger, and I got this 50 acres here. I got this. And we built SDC1. Now this is just a field up here. And okay, we got a classroom. Then more coming. Now I got to build SDC2. I'm using myself, so I know you don't want me to use you. But what I'm trying to show you is that even as you begin to walk with God and walk out His plan, you have to start thinking. As He grows it, you got to change your thinking, because if you say, no, this is it, you're never going to go any further. And although He had a greater plan, you will never accomplish it. You got to start changing your thinking. Then I'm preaching in 1980 in St. Louis, Missouri at a conference. And I said, and it's back, it's the message is that little book, How to Make the Dream God Give You Come True. That was the whole message. That was it. They put it in that book. I said, we're going to have Ramas all over the world. We didn't have any. And I had to realize that all of a sudden my thinking had gotten large. But we do. We got, I believe, 260 or 70. Huh? 271 approved campuses. Not all of them are in operation right now. Huh? 54 nations. And somebody said, well, what do you mean not? Well, hey, you approve those, but you have to jump through. It ain't like America. I mean, there's a lot of hoops and a lot of groundwork and everything else that had logistics that has to go into place before it gets started. But you see, it all started with starting a Bible school, and I thought 50 students. Doug was a part of that class. But I had to change my thinking. If I wouldn't have, we wouldn't be here today. What I'm trying to get you to realize, God wants you to have a greater life, but you're going to have to get in line with His thinking, because you're going to have to think that way in order to accomplish. You can't accomplish it if you don't think in line with what God's saying. You know, God has helped us in a mighty way. God wants you to have a greater life. But you can't have a greater life holding on to what you've got now. Thank God for what you've got now. I give thanks all the time for what I've got now. But my thinking is in line with God's word, and He says that I can have greater than I've even got now. Now some of you look at me and say, funny. That's what God says. That's what God wants. Some of you say, well, everybody always talking about the natural. Hey, Abraham became the richest man in the East, but he also was a follower of God. God wants to bless us naturally and he wants to bless us spiritually, but we've got to think in line with the word of God, think in line with what God said, and then go accomplish it. We got to let go. We may have a plan and we're following that plan, and all of a sudden God said, hey, the plan is bigger now. Change your thinking. We get into there. We're going there. The plan is bigger now. Change your thinking. You get going there. The plan is bigger now. Come on. Change your thinking. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? I just wanted to stir you up to begin to think that God can do greater than you've ever thought. God, you got to cut in line with his greater thinking. Amen. Everybody stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that we've just tried to talk about the greatness of you and how great you are and how that your plans are greater than our plans. Your ideas are greater than our ideas. Help us, Father, to follow you and not hang on to our plan, but go with your plan, your greater plan. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Change your thinking. If you have trouble with your thinking, go out there and get that little book. It's out there in the bookstore called Right and Wrong Thinking by Kenneth E. Hagin. It'll help you change your thought patterns and the way you think. Anybody read that book? Keep your hand up. If it'll help you change the way you think, wave your hand at me like this. All right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God.